Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Rich Wilkerson.
Here we go. John chapter 11, verse 17. All right, here we go. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Everyone say 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. And today I want to finish and conclude our journey on the talks of Jesus. And today I want to finish with this last one, which is the resurrection and the life. And would you pray with me now? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to anoint these words that we have. Let's believe that he's going to do something. Lord, we thank you so much that you brought us here. Lord, thank you for all the preparation, all the time, the servant leaders who've made a way, Lord, that today could happen. Thank you that today, Lord, your presence is here. Fill this place now. God, may we never be the same. Change us from the inside out. Today, Lord, we want to walk out of here different, better because of you. We honor you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' mighty and holy name. All of God's people said?
Amen.
Come on, all of God's people said?
Amen.
Come on, VU Church. If you love Jesus, go ahead and make a big, big shout of praise. I really like this auditorium. Would you guys like doing church here like all the time? Like no one's gonna go boo. I as many of you know who go to VU Church, I grew up in church. I think it's always important when there's guests around that you kind of know who's talking to you. I grew up in a strong Christian home, 4 generations, pastor's kid on both sides. I grew up, like my first slow dance was to a worship song called Our God is an Awesome God. That'll screw you up, okay? So I grew up around church. I grew up in church. And church people sometimes can kind of have all sorts of different cliches. And maybe you know some of the cliches. You know, they say things like, you know, let go and let God. I'm like, okay, what do I let go of? You know, like they just, you know, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. These cliches that show up. And one of the cliches maybe you've heard is this cliche that God is never late. He's always on time. But sometimes he feels really late. And maybe he's never late, but come on, how many believe he's never early? I think God operates on a different timetable. And if you start to follow Jesus, I think you'll discover this. And this really shouldn't be as shocking as I'm sort of making it out to be. Like, for instance, my wife and I, we operate on a very different timetable. Maybe some of the husbands can agree. When my wife says, give me 5, to a man, that means give me 5 minutes.
Amen.
Praise God for you. To a woman, that could be all sorts. It does not mean 5 minutes. 5 hours, 5 days, 5 more chances to say, give me 5. I mean, you don't know what it means. I remember when I first moved to Miami, I was 14 years of age, and it's fun being here in Little Haiti, man. It's awesome stuff is happening in Little Haiti. Shout out to this area. I believe God is really, really doing some great stuff, some awesome churches, really doing some amazing work. I love Little Haiti, but I remember when I first moved to Miami, I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, which is like Pacific Northwest, and you know, everybody's like completely Caucasian, and that means that they're like ultra early to everything, and so I remember when I came to Miami, I went to my very first wedding. It was a Puerto Rican Haitian wedding. And this is where I discovered the term ish. Twelve-ish. Let's link up tomorrow-ish. I went to a 3 p.m. wedding, which for me in the Wilkerson household growing up in Tacoma, Washington, meant that we should arrive promptly at 2:45 p.m. I got there early at 2:45 p.m. with my boat shoes, my khakis, and a tucked-in shirt. And around 3:45, 45 minutes after the start time, I looked over at a guy and said, where is the bride and groom? 4:50, an hour and 15 minutes has passed. No bride and groom. I look at the guy next to me. I said, I think we should get out of here. He said, oh no, don't leave. This party's about to start. 2 hours later, the bride and groom finally showed up. But how many of you know, once that party started, you have not been to a party until you've been to a Puerto Rican Haitian party. Once that party got cooking, there was no stopping that party. I think what some of us have to understand if we're going to follow Jesus is Jesus looks a lot like a Puerto Rican Haitian wedding. I can't tell you when he's going to show up. I don't know exactly how he's going to show up. But baby, when he shows up, you better get ready. That party's going to keep on going and going and going. Once he starts, he's not going to stop. I think on the journey of faith, and I just got a feeling in this room today, so many people from different walks of life, I got a feeling that there's some people that are in a season right now that whether you believe in God or not, you're waiting or wanting God to move, and it just feels like God is late. And I just want to try to encourage you a little bit from the text today, because I believe there's some truth in here for you that if you could capture it in your heart, God would speak to you. In John 11, we've been reading the book of John together, and in John 11, we discover this story about Lazarus. Now, Lazarus, just so you understand, was one of Jesus' dearest friends. He was the brother of Mary and Martha. Remember Mary and Martha? Mary was the one that anointed Jesus' feet with oil. She was also the one that stayed at Jesus' feet while Martha was in the kitchen angry. And then we see in the Bible that Jesus gets in between a cat fight. How many of you know he really is God, okay? Martha and Mary, they're arguing. Jesus is like, no, don't hurt each other. Love each other. Like he's the man, okay? These were some of his dearest friends. And in John 11, what we find out is that Lazarus has gotten very, very sick. Sick to the point that he's about to die. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're waiting, essentially, if you can go with the analogy, they're waiting for him to get healed. I think the first thing I wrote down in my journal this past week, and I want you to write this down today, is that a waiting season doesn't have to be a wasted season. A waiting season, it doesn't have to be a wasted season. I love Mary and Martha because they don't waste the moment. Instead, they write a letter to Jesus. You know what I've learned? I've learned that worry brings distance between you and God. But when you worship, it brings you closer to God. The Bible says draw close to God and God will draw close to you. When you feel like you're waiting on God, don't worry, but instead worship. The challenge that many of us have is that when we start waiting for something, we start to worry. And many of us, most of us, including myself, we suffer from this thing known as short-termism. That we want everything right now, immediately. I was on the airplane the other day and the Wi-Fi went on the airplane. The guy next to me threw a tantrum. Oh my God, I can't check Instagram. I'm like, bro, we are in an airplane right now. Let's find something to be thankful about. I think what happens to so many of us is that we get into a season where we're waiting for God to do something and we just count down the days until God shows up. But I actually think God is saying, no, I want you to learn something in this season of waiting. Before I do something through you, I actually want to do something in you. I think God wants to shape us and develop us, and he wants us to grow in patience. And while I'm waiting, I don't have to waste my season. What's amazing is that you and I, we are so different from God. You know that God has no problem with being patient? The Bible says that he's slow to anger. He's rich in mercy. God doesn't mind waiting. In my car, maybe some of you guys have this. I have this feature when I get in my car. If I don't put my seatbelt on, this thing just beeps at me. And the other day, this is a true story. I go to the gym now. I don't want to talk about it because I want to, you know. I'm sorry. I mean, no, I don't want my convictions to make you feel bad. But, you know, I do work out. And so, anyways, it's not a big deal. But, yeah, I work out 3 days a week with a trainer. And, no, it's not a big deal. But, I mean, yeah, I'm seeing results. So, the gym is like 3 minutes from my house. And so I get into my car. And when I get in my car, I don't, you know, sometimes I don't feel like putting my seatbelt on. But I get in my car, and the other day, like, this thing's, like, beeping at me. And my car, what it does is, like, the longer you wait, the more it beeps at you. Beep, beep, beep. And the other day, I was like, stop! Like, you know you've lost your mind when you're yelling at your car, you know? And all of a sudden, I had this revelation. Oh, my God. This car cares more about me than I care about myself. This car just wants me to put a seatbelt on so that I'll be protected. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter how much I yell at my car. My car is programmed, hardwired to beep at me until I obey. Some of you understand this analogy because some of you right now, it's like you're drifting from God. You're worrying, you're anxious, and God just keeps going beep, 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 beep. Like, God, stop! And God's like, no, I'm not gonna stop because I'm hardwired and I'm programmed to love you. I'll never deny you. I'm gonna keep chasing you. I wanna protect you. God is patient and consistent. Listen to me, listen to me. God will wait on you until he's ready to grant you and give you the miracle that you need. Why? Because God doesn't waste miracles. Meaning, what if your miracle is not for your immediate gratification, but what if the thing that you're praying for is that God wants to get glory through the miracle? And so what if God is preparing you and developing you and saying, stay patient, don't waste the season, keep waiting on me, I will show up. I'm kind of like a Puerto Rican Haitian wedding, just hang tight there, this thing's gonna get going, but in the process, why don't you become more like me? Woman of God, your life does not begin when you get married. It already started. Dude who's not married, I just need a wife. Bro, enjoy it. Put the Michael Jordan Wings poster up. Keep it up for a little while longer. Enjoy the TV remote. It leaves real quick. I don't have my dream job yet. Well, praise God, you got more time to become like Jesus. Discover in your waiting who you can become. God is patient. God will wait. God doesn't waste miracles. Every miracle has a purpose and a plan, and it's bigger than you and me. Come on, if you believe it, somebody give God a shout of praise. The Bible says that Mary and Martha, they don't waste the moment. They say, let's draw close to Jesus. Let's reach out to Jesus. Now, here's what's wild. The Bible says that they write a letter to Jesus. Now, if you're going to write a letter to Jesus, I just think it's funny. Like, what would you write in order to get his attention? This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that Mary and Martha, they write a really simple letter. They say, Jesus, the one you love is sick. I've always found that fascinating. They appeal to Jesus, not on Lazarus's merit, but rather on Jesus's love for Lazarus. If you were going to write a letter to Jesus, what would you write? Like, some people go super spiro, right? You know what I mean by super spiro? You ever met, like, really, like, creepy Christians? Raise your hand. Okay, if your hand's not up, you're probably that guy, so let's all get our hands up. You know creepy Christians, right? Like, why do people think breathing means that you're more connected to God, you know? Rich, oh, man, Rich. I just feel like God's, I feel like he's doing stuff in our church. I'm like, do you need an inhaler? What's going on? Like, you're making me nervous. When you appeal to God, do you appeal to God based upon your level of spirituality? Do you appeal to God based upon your maturity? Maybe if you were to write a letter to God, you would go, you know, like real, real formal. Like you would write in the King James, you know? Dear God, thou hast his need. You know, I don't know how you talk like that, you know? You ever meet people that come into church and all of a sudden they behave one way, but as soon as they walk out of the door, they just go right back to being the same old thing. And we got this idea, and it's all over Miami. People walk in and we play church. We got dressed up today. We come in today and we kind of check our card in, and we think that church is something that we go to, but really the church is the thing that we are. Maybe like if you wrote a letter to Jesus, you'd put a lot of like exclamation marks on it. Because how many of you know God really hears you when you yell? You ever meet Christians like, are you constipated? What's going on? Are you angry? I'm spiritual. Jesus, Lazarus, he's sick. They don't write any of those things. They simply write one little phrase. Jesus, the one you love, is sick. What if I told you today that Jesus' love for you is enough to capture his concentration? What if I told you that just his basic love for you is all that you need to get his attention, that your faith, that your merit, that your checklist, your good deeds, none of that stuff impresses him, but rather when we just come and say, Lord, I'm in need and you love me, I need your help, that wakes up God. I want our church, VU Church, to be a church that understands that his love is what draws him close to us. The Bible says it's by grace through faith, meaning that faith is a byproduct of grace. Meaning you couldn't even have faith in God if he didn't allow you to. You couldn't even have faith in God if he didn't let you get a glimpse of who he is. How dare we ever think that we can impress him? How dare we ever think that we could do something to get him to come our way? No, it's simply the fact that he loves us. The Bible says that Mary and Martha, they write this letter, Jesus, the one you love, he's sick. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus receives the letter, and he says to those there, he says, this sickness will not end in death, but rather God will get glory through this as the Son of Man, the Son of God, speaking of himself, will be glorified. Then the Bible says, then he decided to wait 2 more days. What? Come on, this is what I'm talking about. The Bible says that Jesus says, it's not going to end in death. I love you back. I'm going to wait 2 more days. Excuse me? God, I need a miracle. It's coming. Give me 3 more days. God, my child's going to die. 2 more days and I'll get to that one. No, now. I need it right now. Second thought today is this. Is just because you're delayed doesn't mean that you're denied. Just because you're delayed doesn't mean that you are denied. Understand that there's something bigger happening with the miracles that God does in your life. It's not just for you, it's for him first, and it's for others around you. This sickness will not end in death, but God will get glory through this. I'm gonna wait 2 more days. What? No, I don't think you heard our letter. Your boy, the one you love, Lazarus, he's fixing to die. He's sick. You love him. Remember, you love him. I do love him. I'll see you in 2 days. Not what I wanted to hear. Some of you in this place right now, that's where you're at. It's that you got this faith. You know how to pray. You believe God does love you, but you're delayed. And I came to remind you on Easter Sunday that just because you're delayed, it doesn't mean that you are denied. Listen to me, never, ever, ever place a period where God has placed a comma. He's not finished writing your story. He's up to something. How many of you know, in the end, it's going to be okay? But it's not okay. Well, then it's not the end. God's doing something. I was thinking this week as I was preparing, and then really kind of last night I just had this moment. About 2 years ago, some of you who are part of our journey, you know the story of Don Shree and I a little bit. And ever since I was a young kid, or I guess I should say when I really started getting serious with Jesus, I always felt this desire that we wanted to reach people with the love of Jesus in an unconventional way. I love the church. This is where my passion is. This is what I feel like I'm called to do, which is to help build the church, to be in a local community. But I've always had this desire that we would light up the night with Jesus. And so, I don't know, many years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, a friend of mine, we started talking about creating content, really in the secular market and in the world, that wasn't overtly, you know, proclaiming the name of Jesus, but it was just little seeds and just a little bit of water to encourage people. And about 5 or 6 years ago, we had an opportunity and something kind of fell through. And then about 2 years ago, Don Shree and I had an opportunity to do a docuseries television show. And the whole point of the show was really to try to engage culture with giving a little bit of Jesus in a strategic way to just begin to engage the dark spaces. I really believe that whatever we avoid, the enemy tends to invade. And how many know it's really easy to curse the darkness? It takes a different type of believer to light a candle in the midst of the darkness. That's who VU Church is. And so to make a long story short, we tried and attempted this thing, and you know, I don't believe in failure. Come on, everything's a learning experience, but it failed. And so it didn't go all the way that we hoped for. We learned a whole lot. We enjoyed it a whole lot. But I kind of was like, God, like, that wasn't really my idea. I felt like you put that idea in my heart. I felt like that was something that you wanted to do. The thing kind of just fell off. I just thought it was like, cool, that's not what we're going to do. That's not where we're going. But about a year ago, my friend and I, we started talking, and we just started dreaming it up. We just went back to the drawing board and just started coming up with ideas. And we had about 4 different ideas, and we started pitching ideas for different shows. And about a year ago, I was in the OWN Network boardroom with OWN, which is owned by Oprah, and all these different executives, and we pitched this new show. And the new show was about a good friend of ours. A lot of you guys know him, Pastor John Gray. And we had like multiple different networks come back and say they wanted to work with us. And we finally picked, we're going with OWN. Oprah, we love you. We're going with OWN. And last night, on Saturday night, the day before the day, we premiered, about a year later after we pitched, a brand new show on the OWN Network with the same intent as the last show, with just a little bit of some adjustments. And all of a sudden, as I was sitting there watching the show, it was encouraged in the Lord to say, wait a minute, sometimes you have to get a little bit delayed, but just because you're delayed, it doesn't mean you're denied. God is working. He's gonna get his glory. Stay the course. He's gonna work in your favor. Come on, if you believe it, somebody give God a big shout of praise. A waiting season doesn't have to be wasted. You can draw close to God. You can appeal to God. You can worship God. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to live in anxiety. And you can understand that just because you're delayed right now doesn't mean that you're denied. Stay the course. The Bible says that Jesus, he waits 2 more days, and finally he leaves the place that he is, and he starts to make his way back to Bethany. And when he gets there to Bethany, Lazarus has already died, and it's been 4 days that he's been dead. And you can see it, man. He gets up there to the scene, and he walks onto the scene, and there's Martha. She's always kind of upset, you know. You could just see her going, "Where? How dare you, you know? Where were you?" She's upset, and she's frustrated. She's broken. She's saying, "You're too late. You waited too long. Your friend Lazarus, we put him in a tomb. We put him in a grave. He's dead 4 days." Yet what I have learned about our God is that if God always meets your expectations, you give him no room for him to exceed your expectations. And they show up on the scene. As they show up on the scene, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and Martha is upset, and Martha is frustrated, and she's saying, "Where were you? You waited too long. Jesus looked at her and said, "This sickness will not end in death." No, he already died. I don't think you get it. I don't think you got the last memo. He died in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus says, "Well, where's the tomb?" And the Bible says that she marches Jesus to the tomb. And he gets over the tomb. This is what he says. He says, "Roll the stone away." I love Martha. She goes, "No, Jesus, if you roll the stone away, he's been dead for 4 days. The stench and the smell, that body has begun to decay." I mean, he's really dead. Like, there's not degrees of dead, hello? But there are degrees of decay. And a body that's been dead for 4 days, that thing is decaying, that thing is getting bad, that thing's beginning to smell. And she says, "Jesus, we can't roll the stone away. The smell is gonna be so, so bad." And Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." I love this picture, because what Jesus is doing here, and this is what he does in our lives all the time, and I want to encourage someone right now, is that we have expectations, but according to Ephesians chapter 3, we serve a God who exceeds, who does immeasurably more than anything we can ask or imagine. What if I told you right now that God is bigger than your imagination? Things that you've been dreaming about, things that you've been thinking about, he exceeds it. He does far more, far greater. It's very, very interesting, because in this time period, the Jews, which these are who they were, they believed that once a body was dead, the body was dead. But they had another custom, another teaching. And the teaching was this, that at 4 days, according to the Jews, that was the day that your soul, your spirit left your body. And ultimately, to those who were Jewish, it was at the 4 day mark that they would finally say the body is truly dead and gone. But what I love about Jesus is that he exceeds. Mary and Martha, they wanted a healing, but Jesus wanted a resurrection. Mary and Martha, they wanted a resuscitation. A right now, immediate gratification. Do what we ask. But Jesus was saying, "No, no, 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 no. This miracle, I'm not wasting this miracle. I'm about to teach everyone exactly who I am." So the principle is this. Is that what do you do when your situation doesn't line up with your expectation? You ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. You got some expectations. But your situation, your circumstance is like, "Yo, I was expecting that, but this happened. We said till death do us part, but he left me. It was the dream job, but I was let go. It was the child I wanted, but they passed away. I had an expectation, but the situation, it doesn't line up with it." See, when it comes to God, whenever your situation doesn't line up with your expectation, get ready. He's about to give you a revelation. Revelation, that sounds like another cliche word. Revelation just means he's going to reveal, here we go, full circle, who he is. "I'm going to show you who I am. Those of you that have come today, I want to tell you who Jesus is, not just what he does, but who he is. Because if you'll capture who he is, it will change you." He looks at Mary and Martha. And he says, "No, no, no. I know your situation doesn't line up with your expectation. I know he's been dead for 4 days, but I want to give you a revelation. I am the resurrection and the life. I don't do resurrection. I am resurrection. Who I am. You get around me, dead stuff starts waking up. Dead dreams start coming back to life. Roll the stone away. No, 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 the stench, it's too bad. Roll the stone away. No, 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 Jesus, we don't want you to see what's behind the stone. I don't want you to see what I've been hiding. I don't want you to see what I'm trying to cover up. Roll the stone away. No, it's too bad. It stinks too bad. It's too decayed. My life is too jacked up. My life is too messed up. I only go to church one time out of the year. He can't use me. It's over. I'm not good enough. Roll the stone away. Bible says they roll the stone. This dude's been dead for 4 days. You know, in the Bible, there's only three other stories aside from Jesus's resurrection of people being raised to life. There's a little girl that we see that she's been dead for a few hours. There's a young man, Luke chapter 7, that he's been dead, and all of a sudden Jesus says, get up, and he rises to life. And then we have this story right here of Lazarus, an older man who's been dead for 4 days. See, I think Jesus waited 4 days on purpose. I think Jesus showed up 2 days late, got there 4 days after he died on purpose because he wanted to break the customs. He wanted to break the traditions. He wanted to get outside of their little box, their little paradigm. At 4 days, the soul leaves. I don't care how many days it's been. It could be 4 days. It could be 40 days. It could be 400 years. It doesn't matter. If I speak to it, something's going to change. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. The Bible says that they roll the stone away. In fact, those of you who haven't been to church in a long time, right there in John chapter 11, shortest verse in the Bible, you can memorize this one. Jesus wept. That's a good one to memorize. Do you know any Bible? Yeah, Jesus wept. Good one to know. So moved for his friend, loved his friend so much that he wept. Roll the stone away. And there, as the stone was rolled away, he looked into that dark cave. He looked into that dark tomb, and he called him out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And out of the grave, all wrapped in mummy clothes, looking like a Michael Jackson Thriller video. This is Thriller. Lazarus walked out. I think it's good that he called him by name, because had he not called him by name, every dead thing in that cemetery would have gotten up, been walking out of there. But he said, I'm speaking to that thing. Lazarus, come forth. I am resurrection life. He says, Lazarus, take the grave clothes off. It's time to put the grace clothes on. Old mindsets, old lifestyle, old behaviors, old way of thinking. No, no, no. It's time that you take on the mind of Christ. It's time that you take on the identity of Christ. You are who you are by the grace of God. Your success, your accolades, they pale in comparison to what Jesus Christ did for you. And Lazarus came out of that grave, and the Bible says that everyone there began to praise Jesus, and they gave him glory. How many of you know the miracle wasn't just for Lazarus? The miracle was for everybody around Lazarus. Here's the deal. Lazarus, he's going to die again. It's inevitable. He's going to die. You and I, we're going to die. If Jesus doesn't come back, we're going to die. But the truth of the matter is if we're in Jesus, we too have resurrection and life. I'm not going to waste my season of waiting. I'm going to remember that although I feel delayed, I am not denied. And I have to consider that if he meets all my expectations, there is no room ever for him to exceed them. Lord, I'm going to trust you, the one who brings life to dead things. Lazarus's story, here we go, is truly just a picture of salvation. Today, it's Easter Sunday, and I can't let you get out of here without hearing about salvation, because resurrection is just another word for salvation. That without Jesus, we are spiritually dead. There's only one degree of dead. There are different degrees of decaying. The longer you stay dead on this earth, the more you will decay on an outward way. But dead is dead. And although we're dead, God's love for humanity moved him to come to us. The Bible says in Romans that at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. meaning Jesus stepped into humanity with all of his divinity. He came and he wept for us. The Bible says on his way to Jerusalem, he wept for the city. But as he came, as they put him on a cross, we sang about it earlier, he declared, "It is finished." And when he declared, "It is finished," that was the moment that my spiritual deadness was able to have life in him. And everything that Jesus has, it now becomes mine. He trades places with us. Consider, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that wasn't his. We put him on a tree that wasn't his. He borrowed a tomb that wasn't his. He died for sins that weren't his. Why? So that he could get everything back that was his, and that is you and I. I am resurrection and life. And today, if you put your trust in this Jesus, if you put your faith in this Jesus, you got to know that this Jesus, he's going to show up. He's going to walk with you. Doesn't promise you a problem-free life. He promises you that every trial, every tribulation, every valley, he's walking with you. And when I go through those moments, I cast my mind to Calvary. I'm closing. And if you come to our church, you know I say I close like 5 times before I close. But maybe today, you're waiting. Maybe you feel like God is late. I want to remind you, he's not late. He's on time. You know, the playoffs just began this past week. So sad about the Heat. Resurrection and life. They finished strong, though. I think we're going to look good next year, man. Yeah, you can. That's okay. We can see how we can do that. We can just go from Jesus to the Heat. It's so easy. It's perfect. I like that you're clapping. But I was thinking the other day, I was watching the Spurs play. Who were they playing last night, Dakota? Yeah, Minnesota. Forget them. And I cast my mind to 2013. Remember 2013? Heat, when they were really like champions. We were playing the San Antonio Spurs. I remember the game was looking real bad. You know Miami people. Oh, it's over. I'm getting out. The whole arena left. Somehow, I don't know, I think God breathed on the AAA that day. I'll never forget, man, that outlet pass out to Ray Allen. He shoots that 3. This is going into overtime. Let me encourage you today. You serve a God who oftentimes will take it into overtime. But what I've learned about Jesus Christ is that he has a perfect record in overtime. If I were you, I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't quit. It's way too soon to call it quits. You serve a God who says, guess what? I got a miracle in store. Guess what? I got a way of coming in and showing up in your life. I can breathe into the dead things, and even the dead things can come back to life. I am Jesus Christ, and I am the resurrection and the life. Come on, church. Let's go ahead and give God some praise. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.